an AppleViz original.
Are you ready to swap over?
And that's the beginning of the AppleViz podcast. Take it away, Thomas. I know where I am, but I don't know why I'm here.
You're here now for the Unleashed show. Shall we proceed, gentlemen?
We are proceeding right at this moment. So you hear what we are doing right now.
Okay.
Yikes.
Aren't we?
Three.
Hi, listeners. Hey, hi, fans.
Hey.
Okay, here we go.
Three, two, one. Hey, I
appreciate the cold.
And there's that gorilla. There's that gorilla in the room again.
Hold on, man. I dropped my mic.
You dropped his mic.
Mic drop.
Welcome to professionalism at its best. This is the Big R speaking. Oh, God. Gracious me. Hold on. I got it back.
All right. No, okay. Now, don't touch it, okay?
No, I'm not touching. Don't touch yours either. Don't touch it. Don't touch this.
Don't touch this.
Okay. Robin's got... Tom.
Tom, whoever.
This got a bad cable. I dropped my mic. Robin's over here swapping over, and we're just having a great time here on the Unleashed podcast.
Okay. Now whether we got our, let's just get a hold of ourselves.
Please,
now.
All right. I got myself.
Mm-hmm. 3, 2, 1. And with that, oh, God. I gotta think about this now.
We sound a lot professional more than we usually do, don't we, Robin? I mean, you never would.
You need a live stream.
And that's why you said do this on the Clubhouse. I said no, I don't think you understand, Robin.
No,
people would just like, oh dear God. All right.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another Unleashed podcast. This is AppleViz Unleashed for March 2021. I don't think that's the right year, guys. That'd be a hell of a future, wouldn't it?
You know, I got to tell you what. this is our last show ever.
We're jumping to the future, and this is our last episode.
Out in 2021.
Yes.
Yeah.
To correctly say it, it's 2021, and now we have come back from the time machine to now, present day, and here with me is Randy Rusnak, and I brought in a straggler. He was just kind of like...
You brought in a strangler? Is that the one? It must be the Brighton Strangler.
The Straggler. And that would be the famous Robin. How are you, Robin?
Oh, are you talking about me? I thought you were talking about another Robin. Yeah, doing really well. Thank you. Thank you so much for asking me on.
Oh, thank you for coming on, Robin. I really appreciate it, too. So how you been doing?
Yeah, really well. The weather has jumped by about 15 degrees today, which is brilliant.
Wow. Nice. Well, it's been a while since we had you on. And of course, you know, Randy was just here not too long ago, but...
Well, you having you on, doesn't that mean like we're joking with you? I think that's a British term too, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, well, we are very, very sincere and we are honored to have you on. So
we are. We certainly are. Certainly are.
Well, as always, we always discuss about what has happened the last month worth of Apple news. And my gosh, I tell you, this it seems like every month there's always something. And this month is no exception. This one probably has to be the most weirdest turns and twists I think I've seen ever from Apple. And so let's dive into it. The first thing I want to do before we proceed on is continue with sending us email, folks, to theunleash@applevis.com. We like to hear your feedbacks, inputs, thoughts, advice, or just say hello. And I always love to hear from you guys, questions or anything like that. Plus, you can also call us now at +1 816 774 1668. We have a voicemail line. People are introducing those to us, and thank you so much for those. And I'm going to do something a little bit different. I've seen people do, and I would like to start doing this. If you, for some reason, you are hearing this podcast and you don't want to email or leave us a voicemail and you have Twitter, just leave a tweet with a question or anything you want to say with the hashtag Unleashed. And we'll be tracking that over the month, and we'll come back to those and try to pick those up and introduce them here onto the Unleashed show. All right, so let's move on to these what's going on in such weird twists. So let's go with the first one, guys. Okay. What in the world happened to the March keynote? Poof, just poof, gone.
Disappeared into smoke. This is a Cloak and Dagger story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, who's the mole?
If you are a YouTube watcher like I am, I heard about it like just a few days ago. It's like, yeah, it's gone.
Yeah. So last month we were discussing about the first rumor was that they were talking about March 16th being that date. And then, of course, some of the top sources came out and said, no, that's not the date, but it will be another date. And nobody was quite certain for sure. And after that podcast was dropped, all these top leakers and top sources reported March 23rd being the day to have the keynote. And so time came by and gone, and nothing ever came of it. And it was like it never was announced until people were starting to hear that Apple was sending disinformation out on purpose to try to isolate down moles and leakers within the company. I was like, wow. Surely they've done this before, right? Or is this the first time I've ever remember that they actually intentionally put this date out to start get a stranglehold on all their leaks that they've been going on?
Well, they haven't officially confirmed. So Apple hasn't sort of, you know, so we've only got John Prosser's tweet to go on. Was it John Prosser? He certainly put his hand up and said that he got it wrong. He's going to have to shave his eyebrows off. And yeah, there was another story. Was it Bloomberg? I can't remember. But someone said, yep, that's what Apple have done. Mm-hmm. So who knows if this is the first time they've done that. But
and he didn't shave sense. His, yeah, he didn't shave his eyebrow either. He just said, no, it's going to be April. I was like, oh, you backed out. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so this leaker, he promised it'll be the 23rd or he'll shave his eyebrows. This is not the first time he's done that. And, you know, obviously that came about and gone. Of course, what he does, I knew it all along it would be April. And I was like, right. But here's the thing, Robin and Randy, is that Apple, now you can confirm this. Now, they have done a lawsuit just recently. They've sued an ex-Apple employee for giving out and divulging information and leaks to people before. So they are, and that is for sure happening. Also, we got another memo that from a Chinese manufacturer over in China that produced some of the early on components for the iPhones and Apple devices. And among that memo is that not only do they do biometric fingerprints and all this stuff for every employee that comes in and out. Now, each of the station that look at these parts and creates whatever they do to that part and then go to the next part. Well, they put a timing sequence on this so they can tell how long they've been onto each part. And if there's anything abnormal, it will alert the security.
Meaning okay, if they can do all this, Thomas, why can't they fix Siri?
Well, that would be for a whole different thing. But, I mean, okay. You know, including this plus now implementing new security cameras for watching every transport, so every person that transport one part to another station had to be guided by a security guy, and all prototypes must be destroyed and on video that they destroy the prototypes. And I was like, wow.
And all delivery trucks need to have camera coverage on all four sides when they're loading and unloading. So yeah, they're really ramping up secrecy.
Man, that's just, the question I have, though, guys, is why now? Why now? Is it got to the point? You know, I have to admit, when we first got Apple devices, we were always surprised. The keynotes were actually fun, and we go, oh wow, ooh! I mean, we did it for real. I mean, it was like we didn't know about it. Nowadays, for the past 2 years, I was able to pretty much tell you what's going to be in every event 98 to 95% of the time. Mm-hmm. It's like there was no more secrets. So, do you think that this is why they want to do that? Or do you think they want to start making things more private? Because let's just take an example, the AirTags. I mean, who else would leak that they were coming out with the AirTags and then everybody and their brother now made a complete AirTag before Apple did? Do you think something like that is scaring Apple away? It's kind of like, well, we kind of told people what we're doing. They're copying. Obviously, they would copy it, but afterwards, it's usually what they want, or they're protecting something else. AR, Apple Glass, who knows?
Mm-hmm. I suspect that that's what they may be doing, but you know, who knows? It's only conjecture.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been a secretive company, mm-hmm. and PR, they've always wanted to manage the messaging, you know, 100%. So it must have been really galling for them to have so many leaks in recent years, hence, you know, putting out contradictory leaks about dates and stuff and trying to find out who the leakers are. But it could be much more serious, like you were hinting at. You know, is it brand new products that we don't know about yet? Obviously, they're prototyping all kinds of things. It could be that they have very real concerns about industrial espionage.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they have over 1,000 engineers working on their SoCs, their systems on a chip, and they're absolutely groundbreaking, aren't they? You know, the M1 out of the gate has blown everything else out of the water. So there's probably so much valuable IP in those factories, in those fabs, that they want to, you know, protect. So, yeah, I don't know.
I wonder how far ahead that they actually have stuff, you know, sitting out there on their breadboarding,
mm-hmm.
You know, like the, you know, iPhone, whatever, like iPhone 25 16. Or, yeah, 16, you know.
Because,
you know, they've got that stuff out there.
I say it's probably 7 years in advance. I mean, every company needs to have a roadmap, mm-hmm. and that way they know what they can slate down and what to come and what not to do. You know, we've seen... And I think Robin might hit this on the head. I think it comes down to more of a security issue. Yes, I think things gotten a little bit out of hand as in terms of leaks on media sources, but I think it's almost internally, it's just as important because of security implications. So if stuff is being stolen or copied 2 years advance or a year advance and they're coming out with things, it's like, how did they get this stuff? We have to question those things. But anyhow, it was interesting that we don't know, as we mentioned, is that this is just news source and we don't know how reliable they are. But I can say it seems real to me. And I think they are clamping down. And it really makes me wonder what that means for us. Like, we'll find out this fall, or if we did come up with a product that we weren't aware of. So, I mean, we'll definitely find out. I think this year it's pretty much out of the bag. I think it's going to be for years coming up that we won't so much. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, would you guys agree? I mean, would you rather know about it or not know about it?
I like surprises, but I do like to know that there's going to be, you know, driverless vehicles in some shape or form, whether it's just the brains behind, you know, and then Hyundai or someone builds it. But roadmaps. Talking of roadmaps, they have to have one for driverless cars, just saying. They need to know where to go.
Oh, that was good. What a big segue that was.
That was perfect, Robin.
Too bad we're not going to talk about that anymore.
But here's what we do think we know. If they were to come out, I am curious if it's going to be a trolls forum of press releases or if we're going to actually get a keynote. I think we'll get a keynote. I think, I don't know. Part of me says they got to have a keynote. And if that happens, it'll be the first time in 11 years Apple will ever have a keynote in April. which will have to be seen. But the Rumbles is still on par for air tags. I know we talked about air tags for this infamous air tag that has never existed with the air charger. So the air tags apparently is a thing, more and more stuff is coming out about it. It is one size. It's a circle device. It is got an Apple logo on the front of it. My understanding is 32 millimeter wide, well, actually width, 32 millimeter height, and 6 millimeter deep. So it's roughly for Americans. So if you have ever seen American half dollar, it's about that size. That's a good size little tag, I thought.
Watch it be square and not have an Apple emblem on it. You know, do we really know?
I think we do. I really honestly believe it is circle. This is not the first time I've heard that. I've heard this probably 2 or 3 times. I don't know what it is. I don't think Apple would do a square. I mean, everybody else seems to do a square. Why not do something different? So I can see why they want to do something circle.
They should have a bite taken out of one side. That would be good.
Good one.
I mean, I have tiles, and tiles have been around for a while, and that's a similar size, although it is squared off, rounded square. But they're very plasticky and very, you know, it's like there's nothing inside, and they feel really cheap. And, I mean, they are. They're like $10 each. But they have major flaws. One is that they are constantly losing the Bluetooth signal. Even around the house, you know, if you query, there's a really good skill for the Echo that you can ask where such and such is, or to ring your, you know, back door keys or something, and it's forever dropping off. And the other big drawback is that if you drop the tile, you know, with your keys or whatever it is, out and about, it relies on other tile users to spot it. So there is a community there, but that's going to be nothing compared to the community of iPhone users that will, you know, and the U1 chip is going to be much more directional and, you know, wider range and stuff. So, you know, they do promise to be much, much better, but I don't know how much they're going to cost and how many are you going to buy at, say, $30 each or something?
Yeah, they're looking at $39.
Ouch.
Ouch. You know, if you think about that, tiles is I don't know where that wind came from. It was like,
was that ever eerie?
Oh, God, this is just so funny. So, yeah, $39 is what they're thinking about releasing this. Gosh, you know, I think the Samsung just released one is $29. And I think I bought my tiles for what? It was $20? $20-something?
I got a pack of four for £40, and it's usually pound for dollar, so I was just assuming that they'd be like $10 each, but yeah,
that's pretty good.
Well, that gives you an idea. 39 compared to so it's like, wow, this thing better, you know. I say that every time. Here I am, I with the AirPod Max and the HomePod Mini, and I those are overpriced too, but it, you know, like you said, Robin, if it has that U1 chip in there, I think finding things are going to be so much better. But you got to be in that ecosystem. You know, this definitely is not going to work with any other device but Apple.
Yep. It's funny that you're talking about the chip, because the first time I put my Maxes on my head, they wouldn't they wouldn't connect. They just would not. You remember that, don't you, Tom?
No, I didn't hear about that. No, mine just, as soon as I opened up the little package, it just went bleep. There it is. It's like,
I had to go through the whole thing and do the reset and everything. And God, I had just one, you know what, of a time just trying to get it to work.
Huh.
And now it's just fine. But man, that first day I thought, wow, this is great. This is just like my old gem earbuds with the Bluetooth setting, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it will be remain to seen to see how wonderful these AirTags are. I would be curious what Apple does with it, as in kind of demonstrations and things like that. Show me what makes this more compelling or different than others. As in, if I'm going to pay that much, I want way better stuff. Like,
which is why I think they have to do a demonstration rather than just dropping a press release. That and the fact that I think it would be the first time ever that they, because if it's not April, they're probably going to leave it till WWDC. So to have nothing in the first 6 months with, you know, in terms of an event, that's unprecedented, I think, isn't it?
It would be stunning. It would be like, what in the world? It would make you think, is COVID finally catching up with Apple, like with the rest of the world, with devices and products that are hard to find and taking months to fill, whether it's furniture or appliances or things like that that are extremely difficult here in the U.S. to obtain. We're months behind and be able to get those things, which is unbelievable to think about that every in the time that we live in. Now, Apple might be facing that same dilemma. I think they may have some productivity issues that's causing a lot of that. I don't know. But if that happens, wow. That would be big, but that'll also leave a big dent because we have always had an iPad release, and that's which is the other thing that has become kind of murky. Now, the other thing I think we will definitely see, they always seem to do with the spring event, is new Apple Watch bands. I don't know what it is with them. They think they have to have new bands every year to like appeal to people. And I tell you guys, these Apple bands are not cheap to buy.
No.
It's funny because I had a new Apple Watch this year, new to me anyway, from a friend, and it's the Nike Sport one, and I'd never seen that band before. I just had a straight normal silicon band before, and it doesn't feel premium. It's all rubbery. I don't know if you've ever felt the one with holes in.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
It's all kind of
squishy and rubbery. It's a completely different feel to the normal bands.
It
very
does.
Kind of grippy, the Nike one. And it just doesn't feel kind of like a premium product.
Do you like
product,
the feel of it? Some people have like tactile issues where they don't like the feel of something. Do you like the feel of those bands?
No, because I can't. I'm constantly moving it up and down my wrist just to kind of give the patch that it was on a bit of a break. And I've done that before with the other one, but this one really drags up and down your wrist. You can't sort of slide it because it's very, it's almost like gel finish. Yeah.
And the problem I have with that too is when summer comes along, you sweat like crazy with that kind of a band. I wish it was more breathable. And it's like,
I don't sweat at all.
It's all this dirt and grime. Yeah. That's
I have a metal band for mine, and I like it. I like my metal band.
That almost make it more feel like what we have always accustomed to older watches with metal band.
I don't even feel my watch on my arm anymore with this metal band. I put it on and about just a couple hours later, I lost it.
You know, it would be beautiful. But, you know, mentioning the iPads, I would be surprised because we have always had an iPad. And if an iPad were to come out, it would still be the 10.2 inch. It'd just be not the Pro version. I haven't heard a lot about the iPad itself. I've heard a lot about the iPad Pros. And I'm thinking, We're not really sure now that Apple is sending this information out. It's hard to say what's going to really happen. But if it is the iPad Pro, we will probably see a new display, which has got the mini LED. A lot of people are going that way because OLED is extremely expensive. And once again, there are some major hurdles in production for OLED. So they have to go with the mini LED, which is going to be wonderful, not as good as OLED, but you won't have the burn-in issues as you do with OLED. So it's kind of a give or take on that. What's surprising is it would have Thunderbolt ports. I was like, what? Thunderbolt ports back into the iPad? I was like, it's kind of like last month I was talking about the rumors that the MacBook Pro will be going back to having ports again, the Thunderbolt. And I was like, what? And now, Robin, you have a Mac, right?
Yeah. And an iPad Pro as well.
Do you have the newer one, which is just USB-C on it, or do you have the older ones?
And so I've got a Mac Mini, which is USB-A. I've got a MacBook Pro, which is C all the way around, and an iPad Pro, which is C. And I'm right in saying that that's the same as Thunderbolt, isn't it? It's like, well, the ports might not be both, but the socket and the jack are identical.
Pretty much similar, yes. And it's just funny how they would go one way, say, this is what we're going to have, and then go back, and then like, okay, we're going to put these other stuff back on. Weird. It's like they're undecisive, or for the first time ever, that they really care for what people have to say. You know, when we said, when the Touch ID went away, they didn't didn't seem to bat an eye. Kind of like we got a lot of pushback, but they just kept going forward. They took the audio jack out. Same thing. But now it's like, why now? Why go back to what you had? But maybe they are wanting to hear what people want. So apparently people want ports back onto the iPad Pro. And so it's just so odd, but they're going to be thinking about 11 and 12.9-inch models. Now, the one thing we were talking about, and I thought for sure would come, but it does not sound like it's going to come at all, is the AirPods 3.0 that will replace the basic models 2.0. We thought, or the leakers really thought, it was going to be for this event or at this time of the year. That doesn't seem to be the case anymore. From what I'm reading is that production is just now starting on these, and they don't expect this to release until the third quarter. So that would be this fall for those in the Northern Hemisphere. So that's kind of interesting. I was kind of hoping they would have an AirPod 3. Gosh, how old is AirPod 2? Do you guys know?
2 years?
Yeah.
Or even 2.5? Have you guys got the AirPods Pro, and which do you prefer?
I don't have the AirPods Pro.
I don't either. I just have the Max.
And, well, you know, that's a good question, Robin, because I wear hearing aids. I can't wear the Pros. I mean, I can put those thing into my ear, and it'll still sound terrible because it's just not that clear. It just doesn't have that. I wish it would come with some sort of a program or something that we can kind of use an audiogram to define our ear spectrum. And so it would be like a miniature hearing aid. That would be beautiful. And I don't see why they couldn't either.
There is the promise. You know, the technology's there for in-ear things that have a good seal to be a decent MFI hearing aid or hearing aid in general replacement. If it's got the right smarts and you've got, you know, an audiologist behind the creating the audiogram. So, yeah, I think so. But you'd have to...
I remember, Robin, that you were talking about transparency, that podcast you did, making a graph. Yeah. Does that work, do you know, on the AirPod Max?
Yeah. It's one of the supported devices.
It is.
Yeah.
Supposedly. And now, I had a user reached out to me because we were asking this question last month. If anybody knew how to do this, let us know. And apparently on the AirPods Pro, you can do this. It's under the accessibility for hearing, I believe.
Hearing accommodations.
Exactly. And that transparent button is in there that allows you to increase or decrease the transparency. That is not the case on the AirPod Max. I don't see it at all. And I've seen articles that says it's supposed to work on the Max, but it's not there for us. So I don't know if that was a last minute decision they took out, but that would be amazing if they bring that back.
Maybe we're talking about something different, because I'm talking about where you can use an app like Mimi Hearing Check, which is a free app. It is accessible. You hear different tones. They increase in volume until you put your finger on the button, and we'd have to double tap and hold, and then it gradually fades away until you can't hear it anymore. Take your finger off, and it goes up and down the spectrums like that. It takes a few minutes, and then afterwards it creates an audiogram for you that you can then save, like an EQ, a custom EQ that you can then save into the health app. Then go into your hearing accommodations, go to audiogram, and you apply that, rather than just changing the bass, mid, and treble, you apply that audiogram, and now you've got a custom, you know, frequency response for your hearing.
That is amazing. This is all new to me, and I have never heard of Mimi. This is an excellent, excellent advice, because have you heard about this, Mimi?
No.
A Randy hearing check.
Yes.
There are loads of them that do it. This is the one that
that you like the best.
People
right?
recommended it when I was hearing it on another podcast, and it's accessible, so, and it's free.
Well, beautiful. This is it's a twist and turn stunning month, not just Apple, but for Unleash as well. I'm just totally awed about what Robin is telling us about.
But remember, this didn't have anything to do with the volume of the transparency.
No, it doesn't, because what we were talking about is transparent mode. We hear it, but we were wanting to know if there's a way to adjust the volume.
Turn up the mics.
Yeah. The mics. So the microphone will pick up things like it's having like super hearing or whatever not. So that's what we're talking about. And I have yet to find a way to do this. And
on the AirPod Pro, it shows up.
It apparently does for the AirPod Pros, but not on the AirPods Max. So that
that's what I was telling my friends on Clubhouse. That
so thank you.
There, and they say there is, and I say there's not. And
yeah. Keith is the one that wrote out to me, and he pointed out, sent me the articles, and we had a conversation back and forth. So thank you so much, Keith, for emailing us and letting me know about that. Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
Go for it.
So yeah, you go into accessibility, scroll down to something called audio/visual.
Yes.
That's the top level. Go into there. There's something called hearing accommodations.
Yes.
Right.
Go into there. It's toggled off by default.
Mm-hmm.
In there, headphone accommodations, customize the audio for supported devices. So you basically want to choose custom there.
Okay.
Custom audio setup. And in there, you can say, I want... Oh, headphones not supported. That's because I haven't got any plugged in. But if I had my headphones plugged in, then it would come up with, if I had my AirPods connected.
Your AirPod type, yeah.
It would come up saying, do you want to change the EQ or do you want to use an audiogram? And that audiogram option is only there if it spots an audiogram.
Oh, in on your phone.
Your health app. Right. And if there's loads, it'll give you a list and you can choose the date.
Wow, this is totally new. This is amazing. Thank you so much, Robin. This is going to be, honestly, I wish more people knew about this, and I'm so glad that we're gathered on this podcast. And
our hearing is so precious, isn't it? We need to have everything going for us that we can.
Well, you know, especially that you and I, we're both hard of hearing people. Do you wear aids?
No. I just ask people to repeat stuff a lot. So, yeah, this does help. And I'm hopeful that, I mean, you can get a lot of MFI hearing aids that can take advantage of that if you're using them in, you know, headset mode or whatever.
But I don't have that technology on this particular set of hearing aids. It's not, you know, the price of them for that is really expensive. And unfortunately, I don't have that kind of money. So I had to kind of buy the middle level. So hopefully my next pair would do that. But oh my gosh, this is incredible. Thank you so much.
Have you got any AirPods or EarPods that you can use that would take advantage of this? Is your hearing aids always going to be in the way?
Well, the hearing aids will always be in the way, but I can take them off. Now, my son has an AirPod Pro, and I can borrow it and see if I can't see if it works the way I would like it to. I will definitely report back on this show.
Wired EarPods. I wonder if, as well.
Do you think the standard AirPods would do that?
Yep. Yeah, I think so. It's about the knowing that they need to know about the hardware that you're configuring, and they know about their own hardware, basically.
My wife is going to completely faint. I mean, I had to pull teeth just to get the AirPods Max. Now I'm going to tell her that I want the AirPod Pro. She is going to go absolutely bonkers on me.
So this whole thing will not work on the Max, right?
Well, I think it does, because all it needs is Apple needs to know the hardware that it's configuring, and it knows the frequency response.
It will work on your Macs.
I think
we will find out.
Yeah.
I will find out for us. Thank you. Well, let's move on, guys. Thank you for that, Robin. That is a major breaking news. and
to be honest,
yes,
for me, it took 50-year-old hearing and it turned into 15-year-old hearing. Seriously. You know, if you toggle it on and off, you will hear the difference, and it's from, you know, muddy to clear. So
it just does music for you, right? I mean, it only acts as...
No, it does everything you play, including voiceover. But there's a music toggle in the kind of, like, hear what effect it will have on that screen before you apply it. There's a music sample, so you'll be able to tell straight away the effect that it's going to have.
Oh my gosh.
And I wonder if that'll take effect to the transparent mode when my wife is talking to me. Now I don't have an excuse that I can't hear her.
I think it'll
just
apply
don't
to
tell
everything.
Her about it, Tom. Don't tell her.
Okay. Other stunning stuff to report, guys. This one really surprised me, and I'm going to ask you guys if you were surprised too. So apparently, Apple decided to pull the plug on the HomePods.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Whoa, I did not see this coming at all. This has been out for, what, about 4 years? And apparently Apple wants to focus on the HomePod mini line. And I was thinking to myself, what in the world happened? You guys have any, I mean, does this surprise both of you?
I've got a feeling, because the HomePod minis were so well received and people were saying, you know, pair them and you won't have any complaints at all. You know, on their own, fine, but paired, killer. And so, you know, a pair of those are cheaper than one normal HomePod. So I think that's just, you know, blown out the market for the older HomePod. And as I think we're going to talk about in a moment, there are other models potentially coming
exactly
down the pipe. So.
And that didn't surprise me either, right, Robin? I mean, if you think about it, so the HomePod Mini is incredible. I love the sound; it's remarkably clear. I mean, whatever they got into this is compared to my Echo. I love my Echo to death. So don't get me wrong. I think that's where Apple took the wrong turn. Is they went down to this luxury speaker system, which, don't get me wrong, the HomePod is an amazing feat. The technology and the sound that comes out of it is truly remarkable. But, you know, I told people this time and time, I already have a stereo system. I already have a sound bar. I really don't have room for this. Now, when I bought the HomePod Mini, I do have availability for that. I have other rooms that don't have Echo or whatever other similar device. And I think that's what made it so well received, is that they finally made it in a price range where everybody could accept. But like Robin said, some of the rumors that are coming out now is that they're thinking to take the HomePod Mini to a next tier. And guess what that would be? That would be introducing display and a camera. Oh, that sounds pretty familiar to the Echo, right?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but not necessarily as cheap. But yeah, I mean, the new, just to talk about Amazon for 1 second, but yeah, the new 10-inch that's come out, which, you know, nice big screen, even follows you around the room because the camera tracks where you are, so that, you know, if you're cooking and everything, you're moving from one place to another, the screen will swivel so that you can still see the instructions, etc. Or for video calling, you know, that, I think, because video calling is just so all-pervasive now, and people aren't just doing it for work, they're doing it for, you know, Zumba classes or, you know, keeping in contact with friends or whatever it might be, that I think to not have an offering with a screen would have been seen as just throwing away that sector. So I'm not surprised at all that they're doing that. But yeah, talk about the stuff that it's also going to do, and that's the really interesting bit to me. You know, the stuff about it being a HomeKit home.
Yes, finally.
Yeah, because there's a thermometer in there, a thermostat, yeah, isn't there? So,
and it could be activated at any time, at any moment, they say. So
exactly. And so there
video
are features.
Doorbell monitor.
That's, you know, especially if they adapt to the universal protocol that they promised they would do, the meaning that the HomeKit is not just exclusive to Apple and to brands that only work on Apple HomeKit. They're talking about taking on a universal where that when you buy a Ring doorbell, it will work on all across. That's if Amazon allows
Ring.
Do you
think that Amazon, yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, do you think they'll allow it?
You know, they got such a dominant market. It's hard for me to see that they would do that. It's like Apple, the first problem they did with the HomePod, they were late to the market. It was just too late. I think
that coming, though.
Yeah, we saw the downfall. And I think this is going to be a downfall for them again, because two reasons. One, I love my HomePod Mini, don't get me wrong, but there is nothing like the Amazon Echo when it comes to skills. If Apple wants to do anything like that would sell like hotcakes, you better start introducing some exclusive HomePod Mini apps that's kind of like skills, because that's what makes it shine. And the A-Lady, I get more information from the A-Lady. I stop asking Siri for information, because the A-Lady has just so knows so much more. They got a huge mountain to climb to make this more successful, as they think.
What about if it's an Apple TV or an Apple Arcade device as well? That would be interesting.
That would
then
be.
That means we'll have to spend a lot of money, you know, just to keep up.
There's
because yeah, you're right. There's no app ecosystem on it whatsoever. But whatsoever. Got those two. Yeah.
I mean, it's great with my phone and my Mac. It works beautiful with the HomePod Mini. So there are some benefits of using it. But if it could just add just a little bit more to it, I think they would have a huge success.
And that's what the Amazon is doing right now. And I asked this of Robin a couple of days ago, and nobody else sees it except me. And this is just so weird. When I ask her for the time, and I'm talking about the A lady, it goes into this diatribe of, the last person asked me this, and now you are asking me too. And then she'll recite the time. And there's all kinds of sayings that she says before she gives me the doggone time. And there's music sometimes before the time and chimes before the time. I want only the time. And Robin, you're not getting that where you are, right?
No, I think you're in some kind of beta. You're being A-B tested to death.
Well, he gave me the answer. He goes, well, yes, it's acting really weird for me too. It goes from 1 minute to the next. And I went, okay, Robin, be a smart.
That's odd, Randy, because I don't have that either.
I give you the a demonstration?
Go for it. I would love to hear it.
All right. Now, I don't know if you guys can hear it because it's across the room.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. Just a second.
He has to prepare himself.
What is the time? Oh, now it's...
That's exactly what mine does.
No, shut up now.
Stunning. Hang on.
Shush now. Okay, hang on. It knows. All right, hold on. What is the time? Honest
to God. That's exactly what mine does. No, it's very responsive, and my Siri is not responsive.
No, it gives me a whole bunch of stuff.
We believe you. Yeah, right, Robin? We believe him.
Yeah.
Let me try it on this other device.
Mm-hmm. He has 100 of them in his room.
What time is it? Could you guys hear that at all?
I heard a little. Yes, I heard a little music chime, like it was doing some music dance or chime before that. Now, what did you use there?
That was my my Sonos Beam.
Wow,
but it does it. It does it on all my devices. I swear to goodness, it does.
I think somebody has set up a routine for you that has the name "What is the time?" and that it does crazy stuff.
Well, who would do it? There's nobody in the house that even has any idea.
I've never heard that problem. I've never heard that. It's just you, Randy.
There you go.
Reboot your device.
If mine does it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Alexa, what's the time?
The time is 8:32 p.m.
Beautiful. That's exactly what I get.
One thing that you can do is turn on brief mode.
No, I don't want to do that, though.
Okay. I've got brief mode on.
I'll get mine set up here, and let's see what mine does just real quick. Alexa, what time is it?
The time is 2:33 p.m. Hope you have a good Monday.
You know, nobody believes me until I give a demonstration. I'm the only one that seems like that it's doing it to.
I don't know what to tell you. If anybody has any idea what Randy is talking about, and I'm sure... There are more out there that have the same problem. Email us or send me a voicemail. I would love to hear this from you guys. See if you know if it's something that you set up or this is just random, but I have never had that issue. I've always asked the A-Lady for my time because it's always responsive and quick.
I don't know if the audience really heard this. You want me to turn it up and give you another demonstration? Because it's all full of stuff.
It's email just weird. Amazon Fizz at...
Yeah. Alexa, volume up. Alexa, I swear to God, somebody's messing with me. Alexa, volume 5. Alexa, mm-hmm. Alexa, Alexa, what is the time?
Yeah. Someone is messing with you, that's for sure.
Oh, somebody's having so much fun with you, Randy.
Alexa, what is the time? Yeah. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, somebody has got to get me out of this because I know that it's really happening. But anyway.
Are you making coffee again?
I'm not, no.
Okay.
Terry in the background is.
Okay. I was like, for For God's sakes. Okay. Moving on, folks. The other kind of a bit of news, and now this one didn't surprise me because I kind of saw this coming, but I'll have to admit I was surprised of the timing of it. Apple have decided to discontinue the iMac Pro. Now, obviously, this is not going to impact a lot of us because none of us can afford one of those. But I was kind of surprised that they announced it now. I thought this would be coming, gosh, probably later this year or even next year for the iMac Pro, because we're talking about high-end stuff here, guys. We're talking what? It starts at $5,000, goes up to about, what, $20,000?
Mm-hmm. Oh, easily, yeah. I think that the M1 has changed the landscape for all of their Pro models, so it's really hard to justify that price tag when the new M1 Air and the Mini outperform it. So either they're not going to go Pro on that at all, or they're going to bring out an M1 or an M2 version of it or whatever. But if you look at something like the Mini, you know, all it needs is a decent screen. So, you know, are they going to start just producing a really good screen? And then that would keep their options open for whether they want to add a computer on the back or not. But, you know, there is a definite requirement for a, you know, XDR display that isn't $6,000.
Yeah, $5,000.
If you have the stand as well.
Yeah. I don't know what to say, because you would think that this means that they have something in the works to say, because these are professional system that people need in professional world and whatever that may be, and they still need to buy those. For them to discontinue it, it makes me wonder if we're looking at an imminent release ahead of schedule, because I have heard they were discussing about doing 32 and 64 cores in one for the iMac Pro. And I'm thinking, my gosh, 32, 64 cores is unbelievable. And it's like you said, the M1 now is just incredibly fast. But to introduce that high of a core, it makes me wonder if they're ready for that, or they truly are going to wait until at a later time and just say, hey, for the time being, just buy the iMac. I don't know. I know there's a high demand, so maybe people can wait. But that's just kind of an odd thing. So I wanted to bring that up just mostly because the timing is just weird. I wouldn't think they'd discontinue it unless they have something already set planned. And we're talking soon.
I would suspect that the 5K will be upped as well, because, you know, you can get 8K displays now. You know, if they want to get into gaming, and there's, you know, rumors of them upping their GPU game. So to have a 5K display as the only, apart from the XDR, which I think is priced out of the market for a lot of people, you know, that's really high end, isn't it? So I think that they need to have something that gives you more flexibility. So to have your computer tied to a display that might date more quickly than the computer itself, I think is looking increasingly unviable.
It is interesting. So we will have to wait and see what they're going to go with this angle. So keep an eye on this. I think this is interesting because I am curious about the cost, and not only that, but as stunning M1 was, I want to see this, how this speeds compares to other competitive out there, Intel and AMD and all those guys. It'll be one to watch for sure, and it'll probably make my mouth drop. I can just see it already. So I can't wait for it. Other bit of news is the Apple has released 14.4.1 and 0.2 this month. Back to back. How weird is that? I mean, we got back to back update. It is unusual for them to put something out, but this is just a sign that it has some critical vulnerability. According to Apple, they really want you to update this, and I've heard from a lot of other security experts out there, I guess it does contain some serious bug, some zero days exploits that you want to patch it up. What they didn't mention, guys, and I was kind of surprised, you know, I was having this rant last month about 14.4 breaking some Braille displays, and I was really disappointed, and I thought for sure we would have to wait until 14.5 before people would be able to use a Braille display. But apparently that was not the case. It was not in the release note, but we were able to find in internal testing with AppleViz team that they were able to fix that capability issues with the Braille display in 14.4.1. So if you're listening to this and you haven't heard about it, so if you are the people with the Mantis Q40 or the Chameleon Q20, I believe, both of the Brilliant, the BI20S and the BI40X are now fixed. So those four Braille display were totally defunct or not working very well in 14.4. Now we are able to have this back. I don't know. One hand, I'm really excited and glad that they considered this so critical that it was released in 0.1 really quick, like a week after that was broken, which is great. But I also kind of disappointed now is that they kind of failed to tell us in a release note or to the public that these were fixed. And I mean, am I the only one that feels kind of like disappointed how they're handling this and not telling us?
In the notes about a new, you know, when you get an update and it says, you know, this, that, and the other features, it doesn't usually shout out things that have been fixed. It'll just says bug fixes and stuff, doesn't it? So, but yeah, this was a big one and it was affecting so many people that, yeah. I mean, they needn't have put it in the description of the downloaded, you know, the update itself. They could have put it, like you say, in a knowledge base item or something, because it was affecting so many people. So that the sooner we get heads up on it, the more you know, the quicker you can tell the community, and they can update, even if it means getting on the, you know, the beta program.
Not only that, but you know, when mainstream picks that stuff up, they talk about what's in the release note and they tell you what's being fixed and stuff like that, and so. I mean, that would have been pretty cool to have mainstream. Oh, it also fixed an accessibility issue with Braille display users, kind of making aware that was there. It's almost like they didn't want to tell people that they broke it. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird, I get a weird vibe they aren't being transparent about it.
There was a pretty massive security bug that they patched with it, though. So that probably grabbed all the headlines.
Yeah.
True. But I bet it would at least gotten a little small mention if it was in the release note, though. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I mean, the zero-day exploit was huge, two of them. And, but nonetheless, I am glad that it has now resolved the Braille display. And I hope that they learned a lesson on this and that they test it before they release some major other things so it won't come to this ever again. The other thing I want to make a clarification to, last month I was talking about some iOS 14.5, some of the features you can expect. And one of those is, I mentioned about how you can use Spotify as your default music of choice. Apparently, it was so big that Apple had to make a statement, which is unusual. Again, Apple would make a statement on a rumor to squash. And essentially, they squashed it and kind of clarify, well, it's not really technically a default music service choice like we do with the web browser and mail. Basically, what it is designed for is that Siri is supposed to learn your habits or to better understand your music preferences. So when I ask Siri in my 14.5 to play a certain song, for the first time that you've ever do this, it'll pop up. And it'll show me these apps, such as Spotify, Pandora, and, of course, Apple Music, to choose from. And once you select that, it will remember that. And so from now on, when I ask for a song or album, it will use that particular app, which is so confusing. It's kind of like, why are you doing this? Because when you do this, there is no setting. So, like, right now, we can go under settings and say, this is my web browser. This is my mail app choice. But this case, it's not. It's not under setting. You can only do under Siri. And once you set it, and I guess it happens also to podcasts. So if you say, I want to listen to a podcast, I'll bring up a set of podcast apps that you want to use instead of Apple Podcasts, which is nice, and audiobooks. Is that not confusing to you guys and how it's like, why are they dancing around this?
It's not a setting, but it is. I mean, it's a series.
It's not.
Yeah.
Maybe because money's involved. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to a mail client or your browser, then, you know, they don't have a subscription associated with that, but they do with music. They can't bring themselves to have a toggle, which means that you'll never need, you know, get prompted about Apple Music or something.
Do you think it's because since mail and browser, they're not making any money off it? Now, Apple Music, that's where their bread and butter is. That's their service. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's like going to undercut them if they decide to say, well, if I made a hard settings that maybe. It's weird because yet it only happens when you use Siri. So Siri is the only time it will take effect. So if you try to use other application, obviously it's not going to go to that default app. So if you use Siri a lot, so it's kind of like a half-baked compromise.
Can you switch it back? Can you tell it to play it on Apple Music or Amazon?
Great question. I don't know that answer.
I don't know either.
I will have to experiment with that, but it's something for you to find out. Yeah, it's something for you to find out, and I think 14.5, you know, as I said before, I thought it would drop on the keynote, and the keynote never came by, so we'll obviously know. Evidently, they're going to push it off to April now, so we'll have 14.5. There are some cool features in there, so check on the previous and past podcast on there, at least where I covered a lot of those. So, and check back on AppleViz. We will have all the new things for you to find out. I might even have a few podcasts on showing a few of those features as well. The other bit of news that they found within the 14.5, and nobody really is sure when this will come out, but I am so excited for this. They are playing around with updates, meaning that you will now, or I should say, they are playing with the option to have two different types of updates for your iOS. This is when I'm thinking about the Braille display being broken and so many other things that have been broken. This is going to, I think they have got to go this direction. But in a nutshell, the two updates are, one, when you go to the software update, it will give you two options. The first one is a standalone security update, meaning I only get the security updates, none of the new features or whatever came new in that version. Or you can get a standalone full iOS update. So essentially, I can stay at 14.1 and get all the security updates that folks on 14.5 has. And that is just a game changer. I hope that they stay a course on this and they do offer this. I think this is a brilliant idea.
For me, it was saying in one of the articles that, yes, security fixes, and the other one is, like you say, features, but also bug fixes. So, you know, one would have thought that, well, obviously there are bugs that aren't related to security. So, you know, I can see how they can separate them out. But not only do you not get the new shiny stuff in the features, but you don't actually get bugs squashed either if you only go for the security update. So that's a kind of odd...
Can one supersede the other one, though? Can you go for it later?
Boy, Robin has a good point, though. He's right, though. I never even... It just occurred to me. He's right. Is that you wouldn't get the accessibility bugs being fixed in those versions because you only accepted the security update. Gosh, that's a... Wow. Okay.
But as I say, could you double, you know, could you ask for them later?
I'm sure if you checked for updates again, it would offer you the feature one until you downloaded it. But, I mean, you're absolutely right, though, because the main thing you want to do is be secure, hence the security updates. But, you know, you could hold off for a while and let other people find out that, oh, it's broken the Braille display pairing or something. So you could hold off on the other one, but, you know, it's not advisable to hold off on downloads because of, you know, 0 days and stuff like that. So it does at least give you options.
I do like the security aspect idea. My real question is, let's just say some of my friends are still on iOS 13 just because of stability and they don't have to deal with all this Braille problem. I wonder if that security update would also go across to them, or if it just sticks with the major version of 14, for example.
I don't know. I sure wouldn't go to 13 for any.
Well, you and I wouldn't, but there are a lot of people that use BSI or Braille display will say differently.
iPhone 6S can only go up to 13, so you know, we want to remain secure.
Mm-hmm.
So it must go over the big numbers, I think.
I think it's brilliant. I love this. And it's, again, this is just something that Apple is mulling over and has been seen. It's not in my 14.5, but there is code in it, meaning that it has been tested and it's being looked at. Now, we won't know if they'll ever turn this on or if it ever be a feature. But I thought I brought that up because I think the more the people are aware of this, that Apple should know that we really like that idea. So I'm hoping that people would push Apple, if you like this idea, to let them know, yes, bring it to us, because sometimes they may not think it's so important, but to us it is. Now, there may be a lot of underneath the hood things that might be a problem that we aren't aware of, maybe why they can't do this all the time. And that's just to remain to be seen, but nonetheless, pretty cool stuff. Mm-hmm. As always, I'm going to update you on what I'm hearing so far with the 12S, or if you want to call it the iPhone 13. I still think it's going to be the 12S. Apparently, all four models are still going to be around, so the Mini will survive another year. I'm pretty sure if it does not do well again, that will be the last version we'll ever see of that. I think the ball was already rolling when they saw that the Mini wasn't doing well, that the iPhone 13 prototypes are already out. So I think they just got to go with the roll, and we'll see if it stays around. But, you know, as always, to try to decrease that notch size for those that are visual that can see the notch. It keeps getting smaller and smaller. We'll see about that. You know, I don't know what it is about the iPhone 12. There is some serious little bumps on the back of the device where the camera is, and it's substantial. I think it's huge, but apparently they're going to make those bumps smaller and thinner, so it isn't quite apparent as a bump, more of a hump, and that would be pretty cool. All models will still have the lightning ports, so the rumors that I've been hearing so many rumors about it going to USB-C or just purely wireless, no ports. Mm-hmm. And apparently Apple what I'm hearing is that Apple will not ever go to USB-C on the iPhones. It will either go from what we have now to nothing at all. So we definitely looking like this year is going to have the lightning ports for now. Now, next year, they're thinking about the cordless, or actually the portless, for next year's model. So in other words, that might be the iPhone, 14, whatever that might be.
So you're talking like 2022, right?
Yeah, I had to think my years. Remember, like 20,021.
Yeah. What's going to be weird, though, is, man, if that's the case, because I plan on upgrading next time. If they go with the whole LiDAR aspect and the fingerprint sensor.
Yeah, here's the downside of that, and I want to kind of warn people. Now, this year, the under-the-screen Touch ID, which we all love, now they have pretty much dismissed the side button being the Touch ID, mm-hmm. because of the space issue. They're trying to eliminate the space so it will go under the screen. I think that will still come out, and I still think that it will be available in all four models. However, the Pro models, when you're talking about the LiDAR, now at one time they were talking about LiDAR being on all four models. Now I'm hearing LiDAR only going to be on the Pro models again for this year. Which doesn't surprise me, guys. I mean, seriously, it's still very new technology. They really need to kind of bump up how far it can see things. And I haven't seen a lot of people adapt to it yet. Just, yes, we have Super LiDAR and Microsoft CNight seeing that. It's still kind of in its infancy stage, and I still think it's got room to grow. It may not be ready, and I think the reason is, Randy, is because, once again, remember when we were talking a couple months ago, the iPhone 12 Pro were almost literally impossible to get, including the Max. Why? Because the LiDAR component was scarce. It was very difficult to find it because of production, and I think because of the COVID taken an impact on the productivity of making the LiDAR. I think we're still dealing with that, and I don't think they're quite ready to bump up to the other models quite yet if they can't find all the parts for now. Mm. I think because at this time, they have to start making some decisions very quickly, and if they don't have that knowledge now, they're not going to put it in there. So I think that's why they're going to stick with the LiDAR with the Pro models because of that limitation. But other Pro models I've heard is the 120 hertz refresh rate. A lot of people have been hearing about that. I think that's going to be great for our low vision folks for a cleaner display and look. Now, Randy's going to like this. I've heard the Pro models will have an improved earpiece speaker. What that means exactly, I'm not sure, but they got improved noise cancellation and such on the earpiece, so we'll be able to hear things on it clearer. Now, why this would be on the Pro models only, I have no clue in that, and I kind of find this hard to believe it would be on the Pro model only, unless there was some specific reason, but I can't see that being the case.
I'd like the volume on the earpiece to be as loud as the speakers on the other side. Because if you're watching something, you do get stereo, but it's louder on the end with the ports as opposed to the little speaker in the earpiece.
Yeah, but wouldn't that make sense to do all models like that so the sound sounds evenly? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rather than just remember, a Pro? This is all speculative.
It is. News is that, you know, I have the graphite color. They're thinking about replacing that with a matte black color, which is going to be kind of beautiful. But what I'm really kind of curious is they're talking about an orange bronze color. Now that comes out, I definitely want that color. For those that had vision at some point, I love that copper looking color, and I think that would be beautiful on a phone. I hope that holds steady, and I can definitely see that being on the Pros only.
We haven't mentioned about those ads that was it Intel put out about I'm a Mac. Justin, what's his second name? And he was saying, it's grey, or lighter grey. You know, he was kind of taking the mick out of Max for being so unadventurous in their colours. He's gone over to the other side, hasn't he?
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, you had a company here that never had to worry about anything ever. Never had any serious competition. AMD came along, but they kind of flicked them to the side. But when AMD started getting a little bit serious, you started seeing them getting a little serious. Now, you've seen Apple kind of encroach that realm was untouched. So, it's funny to see Intel start mocking Apple and stuff. It's kind of like, to me, it's kind of like, that's getting pretty desperate, guys. I mean, seriously, you have to start mocking them and making fun of the colors and the speed. And when in fact, Apple does dominate when it comes to speed. And it's just funny that they're kind of doing a desperate move. And now, and you probably heard too, that Intel is making a chip factory in Arizona. And they want Apple to be one of their customers to buy their chips. They will make the AMD chips the ARM chips for Apple. I was like, oh, wow. That is, I am glad that they finally kind of woke up and say, all right, we can't beat them. We're going to have to join them. We'll just make things for them. That's the only way we're going to keep afloat if we can't keep up with them with speeds and stuff. And now to AppleViz news. What has happened this month? Really, not a whole lot happened, but we do have a game that came out that has caused quite a stir in the community. I have heard both sides on this, unfortunately. I get it. I really get it, guys. So the game in question is called Blind Drive. It is a very questionable moral standard kind of a game. If you are familiar with Grand Theft Auto and all the media that you got for how atrocious the idea of it behind us. So essentially we have a game. I think we finally got a first adult style game ever for the Apple for those that are blind. Yes, mm-hmm. There are adult style games out there on Apple, but are not accessible. But this is what makes it a game changer for us in terms of blind or low vision, is that we finally got our first adult style game. So what essentially this... Did you buy it, Randy?
You know I did.
All right. Okay. We'll get, okay, so Blind Drive is a game that has, it's laced with profanity, and it, the objective is to, is that it got a great story base. The sound is amazing. Essentially, a gentleman has either been kidnapped or whatever not, and he's handcuffed to his car, and he has no control of the car because they have jerry-rigged the car so where it can only just speed up and slow down. And the person cannot control that. All he can control is the steering wheel, and he's blindfolded. And he can only hear these cars coming, and you have to get out of the way of the cars. Now, as more level goes up, this is where people have some issues, is that you do you have to hit pedestrians to get points and skills. And I think that's where it draws a line for some people when it comes beyond the, just a profanity. And we're not talking about just a little bit here and there. We're talking like a lot and R-rated stuff, I think. And we are definitely talking about some moral stuff that some people might not like that. But in saying that, you know, we're all adults here and we can make that decision for ourselves. Now, I love the game. Maybe I'm just disturbed, but the game is just amazing. It is so much fun. It's funny as heck. And I realize that some people will be turned off by that. And I get that. And then you had that right to choose whether you want to play the game or not. So what is your take, Randy, on the game?
I love it.
It makes us bad. Now, however, I've heard Robin say in other podcasts he is not so keen of the game. So is that right?
I'm not a gamer. The only game I play on my iPhone is Frotz, which is a text adventure game. That suits me down to the ground. I heard a really good demo by David Woodbridge on his IC podcast, and it was in stereo, and he was explaining the, you know, controls. You can tap the right or left of the screen,
let
to
it
right
all
or left,
go
or
to
you can
every
tilt
word.
The,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so I got the first level or so, and it just stressed me out just listening to it, you know, having stuff coming towards you. Why would you inflict that on yourself?
It is a stressful game. I'm not kidding you not. This is not something like I hear it 5 seconds and I have time to move out of the way. Uh-uh. As the level goes up, it gets so hard. It's almost like you need a game controller because my fingers isn't moving as fast as I could on a controller. It is like, do it now or you're going to get hit. And it's one of those games you go over and over and over and over, and you got to replay that level many times before you get through it. And that appeals to me. There's too many games out there that are good games, but too easy to beat, or it's just like, So
it almost feels too realistic for comfort, though, don't you think?
It does. Mm-hmm. The way they structure this and the story, it's really good. You got to admit, this is probably one of the best audio-sounding game when it comes to quality. It's just amazing.
Yeah. I love the grandma portion.
There's a couple of scenes in there. Oh boy. Anywho, other news in AppleViz is that we tried to experiment on the Clubhouse. We had a AppleViz event on the Clubhouse. We were experimenting to see what it would be like if we were to do this once a month. We have been thinking about every second Saturday in the afternoon to have a Q&A, so we can bring people up and they can just kind of meet with us and talk and ask questions or help us answer some other people's questions. And so there's some possibilities there. We're still considering what we're going to do for sure. But I will say from now on, we will definitely post this on AppleViz site, kind of promote this before we hold it, because it was one of those, I scheduled it, didn't really tell anybody on the site or tweet it. However, if you have the Clubhouse, you don't really need to, because if I schedule it, everybody that follows that group or that club gets notified that that schedule event is coming. So be on the watch for that. And I met a lot of great people. I had a great time. We were on there for about an hour, hour and a half. And hopefully we'll be able to do this more often with you guys. And one bit of news on Beyond Apple News is Aira is now available for Starbucks, meaning that if you are an Aira user and if you want to use it for free and you are in participating Starbucks. Unfortunately, sorry, Robin, this is only in the U.S. only, that you can go through Starbucks and have Iowa help you through the store, read the menu to you, and place orders. I thought, I wish, they're doing a great thing. I hope it gets more and more things, because I'm guessing Starbucks is probably sponsoring that, is why it's being free. I don't know. But I wish it would be more available for other people besides the U.S., which is not the disappointing thing.
I have never been inside of a Starbucks, believe it or not.
I've been to the Seattle one where it all started.
All right, so as I promised, I'm going to quickly go through some emails that we have received from our listeners. Thank you so much, firstly, for everyone that just writes out, just say hi and love your podcast and keep up the great work. I really appreciate that. I send it off to the other guys, and it means a world to us because we love to hear that we're doing the right thing. And,
absolutely.
And it just keeps us wanting to do these shows. So Becky writes to us about the Apple Glass that we were talking about last month. Now, she was saying something that it was interesting. She wants to know if Apple Glass wouldn't be better if they would go with more of the bone conducting approach instead of making us buy AirPods or whatever not to go along with our glasses. Now, what do you guys think on that? Do you think Apple should do that? If not, why shouldn't they?
I absolutely love my Bose frames, which, for people that don't know, they are Bluetooth sunglasses, and it fires the sound from the arms into your ears. The reason why I like them is because your ears aren't filled in with anything. I've got things in my ears all day long while I'm working. I really like not having anything in my ears at all, and the sound's really good. And if you're out and about, then you know you can pause them at a road crossing and you've got completely open ears for traffic and that sort of thing. So I would really like them to take that approach.
You would
fire the sound. Definitely. In fact, I broke them yesterday and I've just ordered another pair straight away. Even though they're £200, I like them that much.
They don't make those anymore, do they?
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah, in fact, it's the new ones. I bought the Tempo ones.
Oh, okay. I thought they were discontinued. But anyway, myself, I've never gotten used to bone conduction, but maybe I haven't found the right bone conductor. Oh. Yeah.
Maybe. I do own one. I will say, I think why Apple's going to go this approach is because they want to make it appear like those are real glasses. They aren't digitized. They aren't some weird modular glasses that looks weird or the future. They want to make these glasses look like a standard glasses. I think that's what they're aiming for. So putting a bone conducting on there, my issue is it leaks. And I don't like the leak factor of the bone conducting. And everybody around you will be able to hear the same thing. I don't think they will ever sell a separate part to have that and then one without it. I don't think that's the case, because in that case, they will just say, well, the AirPods has transparent mode, so that allows you to hear things around you if you want. So you can pause, like Robin says, if you want to pause things. And not only that, but they will lose money. They want you to buy AirPods. I mean, that's the whole point. And I think the bone conducting idea is great, but I don't think they're going to do it. But I appreciate Becky for writing in to us and of your thoughts, and I love hearing everybody else's thoughts. Doesn't mean any thoughts is wrong or another, and I'm sure there are going to be great appeal for bone conducting for those out there, but honestly, I don't see Apple going down this path. Now,
With the sunglasses approach where it, you know, shoots a cone of sound into your ears, there's massive leakage there as well. Other people around you can hear.
Yeah.
Above about 50%, they can hear clear as day what you're listening to.
It does. And that's the problem I have with my bone conducting. It's awesome if I'm outdoors and I'm not around with a bunch of people, it works great. But if I'm on a bus or close to somebody, then they can hear everything it does. And so it's got pros and cons. And I think Apple's trying to do distance from that. I wouldn't call it a vulnerability or... it's a feature that I don't think they want to have. I don't think they want that that lesser quality. I'm not sure if that's the right word I want to use, but
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Now, Steve wrote, and this is what I was talking about before here, Robin, and Steve is the one that's been going back and forth, and I mentioned Keith. I'm sorry, Steve. It's Steve, and he has wrote to me, we're going back and forth on this transparent mode, as in being able to adjust the transparent mode only, as in the microphone gets higher and lower. It, according to all the articles, it does sound like the AirPod Pros allows you to do this, but not the AirPods Max does not, which is kind of a bummer. And I'm hoping that I really appreciate he's taking the time and talking to me about it, and we finally figured it out. So it sounds like the AirPods Max does not have this feature yet. So I hope in the future firmware updates, I would think it would be a simple update. If it's already there for the AirPod Pros, I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, it's just not quite loud enough. You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, you just would not believe the way that that you hear from." Well, if you turn on noise canceling, it's just amazing how quiet it is. But the AirPods themselves, when you don't have the feature turned on, is I think a little less than staggering. I mean, yeah, you can hear everything around you, but it's a little fainter to my ear, and this call could be subjective too, than I think that it should be.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. So with transparency, is it using both microphones? So the world will, you know, sounds come from where they are in the real world?
Yes. So we have microphones all around the headphones. There's like, I want to say there's like four in each cup. So we will hear things behind us, in front of us, to the left and right. And it works beautifully. The problem is the transparent isn't always loud enough for me to hear. Yes, I can hear you now, but I prefer to have it turned up. And that's the only downside, is I wish I could increase the transparent so I could be able to hear people outside a bit more. And so that's the only downfall. So, yes, to answer your question, Robin, it does help you directionally where that sound is. Yeah.
But what's interesting is I can hear myself walking around the room or going upstairs or... It's just like not wearing earphones, but it's just not, as we say, not quite loud enough. But
it's not quite loud enough, but it is crisp and clear. And then our last mail is from Matthew. And Matthew writes to us, what is our go-to blocker, ad blocker for iPhone and Mac? Now, I can't answer the Mac, but I'm glad to have Robin here, but I'll be curious what he says. For my iPhone, I still use AdGuard Pro. The reason I use AdGuard Pro is simple. Yes, there are many blockers out there that are free and does a good job for Safari. That is it. It only works for Safari and nothing else. My AdGuard Pro, what I like about it, it essentially it treats it like a VPN. Now, I can have my regular VPN with this VPN. So there's, so for those that have VPN, don't have to worry about it because it will work in conjunction with it if you buy the right VPN service. But anyway, not to get too far out of the way, essentially what it does is that it takes over every data that comes in and out of that phone. And it's all done on your phone only. So it's not like you're sending the data to a server or whatever to block it. And it has all these rules and stuff. And it works across the iOS, which I love it. So if I bring up Google Chrome or Microsoft Edge on my iPhone, I still have the ad block protection. Plus, any apps that have ads, I've noticed it will disappear because it removes those ads. So that is one of the big thing that others do not do. There's one blocker, there's Hush, there's a lot of them that don't offer this feature, and so that is my go-to. Do you use any blocker for your iPhone, Randy?
Yeah, I use the same one.
AdGuard Pro? For that reason? Does it work really well for you as well?
Yeah, for me it does.
Man, it is amazing. Now, there are times where I'll have sites will come up and says, this site will not work with a blocker, and fortunately, you just go to the top left of your Safari or your browser to say unblock the content blocker, and it'll actually load it up because some site will recognize you're blocking it, and it's, you know, it's just how the game works. But for you, Robin, do you use any kind of blocker on your iPhone?
I didn't until recently, because I would tend to just go into reader mode to strip out ads and that sort of thing. But now I use BetterBlocker because the whole Accessor B thing, which we haven't talked about, but it's just far too huge.
You'd be here all day. Yeah.
But so they recommended BetterBlocker, which is free for iOS. I think there might be a Safari one as well, but I haven't actually implemented anything on my Mac because I'm still just, you know, doing Command R to strip out all the ads and stuff, almost kind of reflexively.
So you use reader mode for your Mac and iPhone, so that way it kind of strips out all the stuff. So you still use Safari?
Yep.
Okay. The BetterBlocker, I'm guessing that is just for Safari on the iPhone as well.
I don't know.
I think if I had to guess, it would be, but nonetheless, there are some examples there for you, Matthew, and thank you so much for writing to us. Well, that's going to do for this month, guys. All the people that have left voicemails and things to wish us luck and liking our podcast, thank you so much for calling. Keep calling. We love to hear it. I would love to put some of those on our cast in the future. You might hear yourself one of these days, and we'll try to do this every month if we can. Otherwise, we'll try to do it every other month. But moving on to other things, the people have requests for me to do podcasts. So thank you so much. A lot of people have asked me to, could you do Outlook again or Twitterific? And a lot of requests for iCloud on Windows. I get it. It is not very accessible, and I think I will do it and kind of show you what each of these things are that are not labeled so you get a better idea how that works. So please forgive me if I miss any emails out there. If you guys have emailed me and I have not responded back, please resend them to me again. I do get a lot of emails. Sometimes they fall through the crack, and I apologize. So it's not that I'm ignoring you. So just keep them coming. I love it. And feel free to send them to us anytime, guys. Now, Robin, thank you so much for coming on to the show. Now, as a service for you, you are on a lot of different podcasts. And I love, this is my favorite part, is letting other people know about other podcasts. Now, you do Dot to Dot, which is one of my favorite. I listen to every day, which talks about Amazon skills for your little Echo devices, Dot to
and
Dot.
And which you kindly provide demos for, and there's one, it depends on when this show goes out, but it'll probably already be in the feed, how you can talk C-3PO language, or even what's it called? Wiki. There is a name for Wiki language. I can't remember what it is now.
It's Spawook, something like that. And it's so much fun. You guys got to listen to that. I do like to offer it, and I think Randy does too. And but I love that. Now, what other podcasts are you on? Now, you do a once a week with the Echo Tips or something.
The Echo Show.
The Echo Show.
The name
Show.
Of the podcast.
That's it.
The Echo Show. And it's not just about echoes with a screen.
With Sean.
Yeah. Me and Sean have a lot of fun every week on The Echo Show, which is like a daddy version of Dot to Dot. It's still skill demos, but with chat as well. And sorry, carry on.
Oh, I love that show because you guys are making me laugh so much on that show.
We have a lot of fun. And he's just like
that in real life. Every time I talk to Sean, he is. Because every time I talk to Sean, like on Clubhouse or whatever, oh my gosh, we laugh so much. It's just, you wouldn't even recognize us off
air. He's one of my favorite people.
You guys are great. But you do so much more than those two shows. You're a guest co-host on Mac Accessibility, right?
Mac Accessibility, yeah. Is Accessibility with an M? Fortnightly with those guys. They are brilliant as well. And Tech Talk, it's an RNIB, Royal National Institute of the Blind podcast over here. It also goes out on the radio. But yeah, just search for Tech Talk. That's two words, and that's all. That's talking about tech.
Exactly. Follow all of those. They are incredible shows. I highly recommend every one of those. I subscribe to them, and I learn so much from those guys. And I thank you for sharing that with us, and I'm so glad you're on so many different shows and taking the time out to do the Unleash for us this month.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Call me back whenever you're in need of another buddy. I would love to
Excellent.
Okay, we may talk to you next month.
Fine by me.
Oh, we had so much fun, and I hope our listeners do too. And remember, if you want to send an email to us, send it to unleash@applevis.com or send us a new voicemail, which is at 1-816-774-1668, or leave a Twitter hashtag of #unleashed, and we will be searching for those and to queue them up for future podcasts to review. All right, well, that's going to do for us. My name is Thomas Donville, also known as Anonymous, here with Randy Rusnak and Robin Christofferson. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Feel free to contact the Applevis Unleashed team with feedbacks, tips, or questions at unleashed@applevis.com or call 1-816-774-1668. This Applevis podcast has been brought to you by the community of applevis.com. For the latest in sources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple device, visit www.applevis.com.